You kids are supposed to be going to the back now. You have a mission. Thomas, take your friend. You can go too. You can go too. They need help. Yes, good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. I'm not a mother, so you don't have to say it back to me. That would be kind of awkward. But, yay! What a wonderful day. It is a great day, especially day to spend together with your mothers. And I know that's a reason a lot of you are here today, as you are visiting your mothers, or your mothers are visiting you. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you're taking time to do one of the most important things we do every single day, and that is every single week, and that is fellowship with one another, but also worship our God. Now, I have a very important job for all of you, because every week my wife does something very important, and she's not here today, so she does this to me. Do you know what this means? It means you are going too fast, slow down. So if you feel like I'm going too fast, you have to fill in my wife's role today, okay? But she's fine, she's fine. She's actually in church in Olathe today. Our son had something. It's been a crazy week, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But let's go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings we have. We thank you for our time together. We thank you for the mothers you put in our lives. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you for this time to worship you. And as we take time to study what you have to say to us, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to the message. We give thanks in your name. Amen. All right, so it being Mother's Day, our youth have a special gift for all your mothers. This is planned by the all ages of the youth, from the little kids to the teenagers. And while I'm talking today, they're going to hand out that gift while Emery cries. It's going to be great, and everybody's going to love it. And they want to say thank you for all that you do, because if it wasn't for with you wonderful ladies in the congregation, or even just in the world, none of us would be here, right? I mean, that's why we're Mother's Day. It's the reason we're here. Mothers, they fill so many different roles in our life. Or even you have filled these roles in the past. Some of you are chefs. In fact, probably a lot of you are chefs. Some of you are taxi drivers. Some of you are teachers or nurses or even ministers. Some of you are even, I find that I'm a really good fortune teller as a parent, but not really as much as my wife is. My wife seems to know what my kids are going to do right before they do it. It's mother's intuition, right? And you have, all of you at some point have had a woman in your life that has filled this role. I have been very fortunate in my life to have two women that have filled this role. The first one is my mother. Mom, if you are listening to this, I love you. I'm so glad I'm here because of you, and I want to thank you for putting up with me. That must have been the hardest thing you ever had to do. I think putting up with my sister was a lot harder than that. Yeah, that's right. I'll throw my sister under the bus. But most importantly, I want to thank my wife for just helping me raise my children. I have two of them. When I first met my wife, we started dating, and I told her, you know, I'm going to go to China. If you want this to work out between us, you need to think about going to China as well. And if that wasn't enough, my wife decided we were going to have a baby in China. Thomas was born in China, in a Chinese hospital, as the only white kid that they had probably seen. And everybody, even the doctors, were taking pictures before Rachel got to hold her baby. And then she's like, give me my baby. But Mother's Day, though it's not a religious holiday for us, it is certainly an important holiday in our culture. It started about 150 years ago with a woman named Ann Jarvis, who saw a problem after the Civil War. See, a lot of people were torn apart either from death or from choosing different sides in the war. I know it's kind of loud, so just bear with me right here. I like to see this kind of thing go on. But she thought this would be a great way to bring families back together over issues that might have divided them politically or even socially. Family doesn't really divide us that way. And so her dream was eventually realized with her own daughter, Anna Jarvis, who got President Woodrow Wilson to sign it into law, making it a federal holiday in 1914. Since then, it is the second busiest holiday of the year. What's first?
Christmas.
Yeah, it's really hard to compete with Christmas. But this time of year, most phone calls are made, most restaurants are booked, so if you plan on going to lunch after this, I'll try to make this short so you can beat the crowd. And more flowers are purchased than any other day of the year. So maybe you don't want to tell me to slow down. But mothers, they do so much for us. They give us the things we want, such as taking us the places we need to go, money and time and effort to buy those that desperately needed toy. What's the new hot toy today? What does everybody want? I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, it was Pokemon and Pogs. And my kids were always into a lot of different things. Now it's Minecraft and video games. And what?
Hobbit.
And Hobbit. Poppets. Yeah, the fidget things. They offer advice. They help with projects. My mother calls me every single Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. to ask me how I am doing. Without fail, I will know that if I get a call between that time, it is 99% likely it is coming from my mother. I am almost 39 years old, and that is how much my mother still talks to me. And I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. I'm so glad she does it. But, you know, our moms also give us the things we don't want. They say no to that new toy. They say, you've done wrong, go to timeout, get the spanking, do whatever it is you punish your child to do. Here's the advice, and if you don't take it, that's on you, but it's still good advice. Or maybe they like to give you exposure, that's embarrassing. All these things kind of contribute. Not because our mothers hate us, our mothers want to see us suffer, though sometimes we do relish in it, but because they do love us. The last few weeks I've been talking about why we do the things we do, especially as it relates to our morals and ethics, and that's because a good mom bases these qualities in the biblical institutions we have. We go all the way back to Proverbs 31 to see what makes a good woman. And most of us like to focus on the second half of that passage. And I do too. I'm guilty of this too. I only focus on the second half of this passage. But the first half offers very important context. The first half says, now here's King Lemuel, and he's getting advice from someone. Do you know who he's getting advice from? He's getting advice from his mother. I missed that till I read it again this week. I'm like, how did I never pick that up, that this advice in the first half of Proverbs 31 is coming from his mother? And you know, she says, there's two things you need to avoid. The first one is strong drink. Seems like pretty good advice. The second one is a wayward woman. And this leads you to the second half. Instead, you need to find a woman that fits all of these qualities. But more importantly than all of these qualities, you need to find a woman who fits this quality. See, men, we're kind of shallow. We like good looks. We like women to be pretty. But he's saying all these things are deceitful. They don't mean anything at all. The one thing you need to find in a woman, a good wife and a good mother, is this. Does she fear the Lord? Or more importantly, does she love the Lord? Because we know that in this case, fear has to do with respect. Not because we're afraid of what God can do to us, and He can do some terrible things to us, but because we absolutely love Him. What makes a good mom is one that fears and loves the Lord. But it goes on, and we read more about what the Bible says. This also makes a good mother. Mothers are self-sacrificing and selfless. You guys know that story in 1 Kings chapter 3 where two women go to Solomon, and they're like, this is my baby, and they both make that claim. And Solomon says, okay, I'll figure out whose baby it is. Bring me a sword. All right, here's Solomon, here's the sword. All right, cut the baby in half and give one half to both women. And how does the women respond? One woman says, all right, neither one of us will have the baby. And the other woman says, no, I cannot bear that to happen. I would rather my baby go to someone else than see my baby die. And this is how Solomon decides that who the mother is the one that is willing to sacrifice her own comfort and needs to protect her child. You mothers, I know this is your life. You give so much for your children. You put their needs above yours, that you go out of your way to protect them, even in some cases, giving your own lives. You give time and effort and personal commitment to your children to make sure that they are happy. I would say more so than probably the other half of the parental unit. And that is absolutely wonderful. And I want to praise you for your self-sacrifice. But it also goes on to say that mothers are silent sufferers. When Jesus was brought to the temple at 8 days old, where they would normally present for you wouldn't sacrifice Jesus at that age. Circumcision. That's when they would do. They would circumcise on 8 days old. A prophetess goes up to her and he says, he will pierce your heart. Now, she's using this to illustrate of what Jesus is going to do for all of humanity. But I also think that this is a really true statement of what one day will happen with our children, is they will pierce our heart. And even if, not even in bad ways, because yes, they might do that in bad ways, but in good ways as well. Because at one time, they will have to leave you. They will go find their own families and start their own lives. And that's going to be a very difficult time for you as well. And in that way, it's going to pierce your heart. How many women have had that happen to them? And it's going to keep happening as long as their society goes forward. But not because it's necessarily a bad thing, just because that shows how much we love our kids. That part of us doesn't want to let go. And we see that through this, through the wonderful things that our parents, especially our mothers, do for us, make them worthy of honor. You know the Ten Commandments? Number 5, honor your father and mother. And what does it say about them? This is the first commandment with a promise. And if you honor your parents, things will go well with you in the land, or just things will go well with you in the house. Any of you children ever talked back to your parents? Yes, you have. Did it go well for you? Absolutely not. God understood that. He's like, I'm telling you right now, honor your parents. And yeah, some parents are awful parents. And that's why Paul goes on in verse 4 to say, love your children. Do not provoke them into anger. It's supposed to be a two-way street. Mothers also make us great. They teach us important things, especially important biblical things like grace, faith, forgiveness, values, morals. This is something I think my wife has done very well. While I often teach from here, it is my wife telling my children what I mean. And I found that she's often fit this role quite well in her whole life, that she's always, even not even her kids, but her own kids. And I'm reminded of what Paul says to Timothy when he says, your faith is great because of that of your mother and your grandmother. And that is great because you are a great young man because you follow those principles. And because of everything our mothers do for us, we owe it to them. So much more than we could ever pay back. So you children that are with your mothers today, you probably owe a lot more. Keep doing the things that you should be doing as children. Loving and respecting them and obeying them and one day taking care of them. That's the last thing Jesus does on the cross, as he makes sure that his mother is taken care of. His earthly mother is taken care of. And if you don't do these things, there will be consequences. Has your mother ever said the phrase to you, "I brought you into this world, I could take you out"? Yeah, and make another one just like you. I've never heard that part of it, but I suppose that's true as well. I doubt that they would actually take you out of this world, but the idea is they're going to put that fear of God in you, just like they themselves fear God. And then there are also other people that are not our mothers, that fit the role of mothers. And I'm reminded of the Stevens family that has adopted children. My own mom, who took one of my friends and let them come into our house after his parents kicked him out. And some of you, and even the friends, parents that I myself have called mom. They have fit these role of mom in our lives. Paul commends Rufus's mother. I have no clue who Rufus is, because I'm pretty sure this is the only time he's mentioned in the Bible. But in the same breath, he mentions his mother, who is also a mother to him. And while no mother is perfect, our love for them and their love for us and our shared love for God can overcome any imperfection, because we understand love covers a multitude of sins. And that's where it needs to be, is it needs to be grounded in love. We fear God not because we're afraid of Him, but because we love Him. I guess at the beginning, the Bible is our institution, our source for truth. And when we look at what makes a great mom, we see that God Himself has a lot of those same great qualities, where we read phrases like Deuteronomy 32:11, God cares for His people as an eagle hovering over her young, or God is concerned for His people like a midwife cares for the child she delivers. God will never forget His child like a mother will not forget the nursing child, or God comforts His people like a nursing mother or an angry bear who has been robbed of her cubs. You want to see a woman mad? Get between her and her children. So great that we have these wonderful people in our life. So, my message to you today, on this day that we typically serve to honor God, is call, if your mother is not here, call her and thank her for something that she did for you. Especially if you are the God-fearing Christian today, because what she has done for us. Because as I wrote a few years ago, mothers are patient and kind. They are not envious of their children, but they will boast about them. They insist on their way or the highway, but not out of resentment or wrongdoing, but out of truth, love, and improvement. They bear for their children, they believe for their children, and they hope for their children, and they want nothing better than to see their child succeed. Tell your mother how great she is, especially if she has been a great mother. Or at least appreciate the things that she has done for you. If there's anything we can help you with, if you'd like to respond to this message in any way, we invite you to come forward as Ian leads us in song.